them spiritually secure.
To many people, the book of Ruth may be just a cute story about a poor girl was fortunate enough to marry a rich man. But in reality, the event recorded in Ruth was part of God's preparation for the birth of King David and Jesus. Now the promised Messiah will be born out of that family line. And just as Ruth was unaware of this larger purpose in her life, we as human beings, our knowledge is limited. We don't know what's happening in the future. We will not know the full purpose and the importance of our life in God's kingdom, how God's going to use us until we can look back from the perspective of eternity. Until the day you die, until the day that you go to heaven and meet the Lord and have eternity with, spend eternity with Him. And now, then when you look back to this life, then you will finally know what's your purpose in your life. What is God is trying to turn you into, like, for His purpose. And the same as the kinsman, the Redeemer, as we talked about it last week, Boaz was not, he not only takes Ruth as his wife, he's not just a guy, a rich guy trying to find a wife, but he also fulfills the Mosaic law, the Old Testament law, by producing a son to carry on the Elimelech family line. And his son, with Ruth, the little baby Obed, is not just a normal, healthy baby. He's a very special son who would preserve the royal line of David, from which like not just David will come, but also Solomon, all the way to Jesus 1,000 years later. God's promise to Abraham to bless humankind will carry on to from this little boy, this little baby. As we can see in the genealogy of Jesus in the book of Matthew in the New Testament, that is, you will notice Matthew chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. It talks about Simon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. And Boaz is the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed is the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon, whose mother has been Uriah's wife. Now that's a long list of lines of the next generation coming up. Long time ago, before they were born, God had promised Abraham that he would bless the world from with his seed, from his family. And that genealogy has been carried on because God's promise to mankind finally will be fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. And if any of these people, they didn't do what the righteous thing they do, if Naomi doesn't have his grandmother and come to and came to Israel with her, and be or Boaz doesn't did his job as a kinsman redeemer, King David will not be born, Solomon will not be born, Jesus will not be born. That is the royal bloodline of King David, which will descend the greatest king of Israel, the Savior of the world, Jesus of Nazareth. God's promise of salvation is planned long ago, long time ago, and it is fulfilled through the righteous act of love of Ruth to her mother-in-law Naomi, and the noble act of redemption through Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. Both Ruth and Boaz's role in God's plan were so little. What they did is actually just little, very little bit. But yet, if Ruth didn't faithfully follow Naomi to Bethlehem, or where if Boaz didn't take her as wife, his wife, then Jesus won't come through this line of the King David. God uses this little love story of a righteous man and a virtuous woman to purpose His plan of salvation to all mankind. That is God's plan, His promise behind the entire story. Throughout the story, you don't see much of God's act. It's not like the book of Exodus. You see God do a lot of miracles around. No, throughout the entire series in the book of Ruth, you hardly see God participate in anything. Anything mentioned God. Except you see some people, they may praise God. Now, but God is working in behind. God is good for Naomi, And he has a great plan for her long time ago. He planned to give Naomi a son and later a dynasty, a kingship of that dynasty long time ago in his own mercy and kindness. Sometimes in our lives, we may be like Naomi. We may have to suffer a lot in our life. But we need to learn when we are in suffering or in hard time or bad time, we need to learn to put our trust in Jesus Christ and endure the hardship that comes into our lives. It is very important. It's that moment of testing, the moment of trial in suffering, that we might grow in our character and our faith towards God. If you have no suffering, you never learn the meaning of endurance. You never grow in your character if everything goes well. How do we know people are faithful to God? It's not when you're having a good time, everything goes well, you eat well, everything goes healthy, lots of blessings. It's not that time that you train your faithfulness. It is when the time when you suffer for Jesus and you sustain it. That is the time when God trained you using the suffering to help you for His purpose. As Apostle James wrote in his letter, James said, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him." If you never suffer before, you never persevere, you never grow. You may not feel much suffering right now because you are many people in our congregation are very young. But I can tell you, the time will come. The time will come and you need to learn how to prepare to keep your faith in Jesus Christ during the suffering. God's promise and purpose for us are always good. You need to always remember that. No matter how bad it is in this life, it won't last. But God's promise and His purpose for us are always good. So let us now persevere in the hardship of life and patiently wait for Jesus' return. A few weeks ago, there was lots of fire out there. I heard that there are also a few hundred houses have been burned down. Those people must have been suffered a lot. But I have a friend who got a few horses and lived in his house. He was looking, and I remember he showed me on the Facebook that the picture around his house was all surrounded by fire. He was so scared. But he survived, thanks to the Lord. His wife quickly drove away to Canberra with his horses so that the animal will survive. But for him, he stayed in the house and he kept taking the photos. He was scared that he may not, he said on Facebook, said that if it's my last message to on Facebook, then remember me. And I thought, that's good. We're old friend, my high school friend. So he actually, at the end, he survived, gave thanks to the Lord. But he helped him grow to trust in the Lord. God's promise and purpose are always good. Like the way that Naomi has been long waited patiently for God's blessing. And now, finally, she has her joy to have the baby boy. And after Obed was born, all the women who used to be astonished by Naomi's misfortune back in chapter 1, those people, "Oh, it's you, who is this one? You think that it's Naomi? Would it be her?" Now they congratulate her. They say, "Praise be to the Lord who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May He become famous for all Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than 7 sons, has given him birth." Now, God brought great blessings out of Naomi's tragedy, even greater than having 7 sons. Throughout her tough time, Naomi continued to trust God, and God, in His time, blessed her greatly. Even in our sorrow and our calamity, God can bring these great blessings. And instead of asking, "How can God allow this happen to me?" which is very common, even Christians, a long Christian who have been baptized for many years, whenever bad things happen, they say, "How can God allow this happen to me?" but rather we should put our trust in Jesus, who is mighty, and our Lord God will be with us in the hard time. Instead of asking God, why does you allow this happen to me? Learn how to trust Him so that He can help you go through the trial in your life. At the end, no matter what has happened, no matter any bad thing happened, they won't laugh. Because finally what happened? The worst thing happened, we die. And we must die. There's no change. You live 30 years later or live a few months later. But God is with us. And if God is with us, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will have eternal life. That is much more important. 1,000 years later, 1 million years later, when you're in heaven with Jesus Christ, anything that happened today, maybe someone may lost their HSC or some people who have lost their job, all those bad things happened. It means nothing to you anymore. And also in this story, we can see that Ruth is ultimately the person responsible for giving birth to Obed, and Ruth, the Moabite, not an Israelite, the Gentile believer, Ruth has gone from being a foreigner to lower than migrant worker, to be a beggar, to be a lady in waiting, and to be a wife of a rich man. Now God, who had closed her womb at the beginning in Moab when she was married to Mammon, who died in Moab. And now God opened her womb so that she gave birth a son. And in this sense, Ruth is the hero of the story. The hero in every story in the Bible, they normally have a hero. And this time it's not any boy, it's a girl. It's a girl. Ruth is a hero in the story. She was responsible for bringing out order out of chaos. And without her willingness to love Naomi, or without her willingness to abandon her homeland, like many of us, you need to have willing to be a migrant. It takes a lot of hardship in order to do migration. And without her willingness to beg publicly in Bethlehem, without her willingness to approach Boaz, there would be no celebration to this in Jesus chapter. Everything that she did before lead up to a good ending that God had prepared for her. Ruth gave God's kingdom of Israel much more than a fertile womb, not just giving birth to a baby. Her life challenges the corrupt values of Sikh culture in the time of Judges. Well, at that time, you remember the book of Ruth happened during the time of Judges, after the Exodus. Back in those days, if the Israelites who were supposed to be God's people, they have worshipping the Canaanite gods. And they have been being judged by God, and lots of bad things happen around the land. But in this bad time, the Moabite, the Gentile Ruth, is the one who is more faithful than seven sons to God. In the Ruth world, back in those in the ancient Near East, historically, women are more expendable than men. Yet Ruth demonstrated unconditional love. For Naomi, and treat her better than many people who have sons and daughters. When I look at them, the story of Ruth and Naomi, I tell you, not many mother-in-law and their daughter-in-law who have that kind of relationship. Even today, I would say that I've seen so many times that I have many arguments in many families. And Ruth proved that a foreign widow who have lost her husband, who has lived in poverty, can be far more valuable to Israel and to God than seven of the finest sons of Israel. Don't look people down when you go outside and see people they are not Christians. What they do in their life might be better than many Christians, many sons in this world. They may do what Jesus wants them to do. In action. But what you need to do as a Christian is to bring them to Jesus Christ. I hope that this afternoon, when we knock doors, and do evangelism, that many people will bring many roots to come to church. that is what I'm hoping for and praying for. Now, so also this story of Ruth reminds us about God's character toward women, the poor and the weak. The Christian view towards them is very different to the sexist culture in the world today. In God's eyes, God does not discriminate against who we are, no matter what country you come from, or you're born from different ethnicity, or you are in different gender. If there are people of different gender theory, but God doesn't discriminate us, or God won't discriminate because of our poverty. God doesn't love the rich people better. God sees the same. We are all sinners. But what God values is our inner character, our righteous act of compassion, our faithfulness to Him, which Ruth and Boaz have shown and Naomi have shown. Your kindness and your unconditional love toward the other people in your life, that is what God values. We are all created under God's image, and Ruth is an example of that godliness, the goodness from God's character displayed at work. Many of us call ourselves Christians, but many of us can also be called the closest Christian from Monday to Friday. Sunday, you come to church Monday to Friday in front of the workplace, in your school or uni, you may act exactly like everyone else. How can we display the love of God, God's character in our life? Look at Ruth. Everyone in town, in Bethlehem, knows her love for her mother Naomi. Everyone praises her. Have very good reputation. Same with Boaz. Everyone knows that he's a righteous man. Can you influence people around you like Boaz and Ruth in your life? Not in church, outside the church. Can you display the saltiness and being the light of the world in your workplace, at your family, in front of the non-Christian believers, to your non-believing relatives, to your friend at school, church, people you hang out with? Can they see you having the reputation of being a Christian, a follower of Christ? That is something that we all, even me as a pastor, have to learn until the day I die. That is a good, that this book is, I would think, that it is a very good way to see what unconditional love is, and what is righteousness, what is mercy, what does compassion mean. So we can see that, so if the church, when we look at it, if will the church behave and love one another like Ruth, remember that God will also send us our guardian redeemer. As I told you last week, Jesus Christ, he will redeem us to Himself. Just like Boaz redeemed Ruth to be His bride, we, the church, will be the bride of Christ who receives the blessings from God, just as it's written in the book of Revelation. You guys are all Ruths. We are the church. As the church, we are the bride. Like this story, you got the wedding of Boaz and Ruth, you will have Jesus as our Redeemer, and we will become the bride as the church. When I was writing this sermon, I learned that in the news that the Australian government has just repealed the Medibank law. The Australian government just taken off the Medibank law that allows refugees in Nauru and Papua New Guinea to be transferred back to Australia for medical reasons. Now, originally, if you are a refugee, you can't come to Australia as usual. At the moment, you've got passed, you're put into the refugee centre out there. And if you have very sick, they can use this law, Medibank law, to bring you to Australia with your family, so that you have treatment in that. But last week, what happened when I was writing this sermon, suddenly they just grab it. No more. That's no longer. I was wondering how many people like Ruth would be stranded in Nauru or the island of Papua New Guinea right now without proper medical treatment. Are we who live in this blessed country of Australia being kind to the refugees in need like Boaz did to Ruth? As we call ourselves Christian country, we call ourselves Christian in majority compared to the other pagan countries. But did we actually act like God's character to those who are in it. This is something that we should reflect upon and think about as followers of Christ. Otherwise, when people look at your actions, everyone knows that. I know Prime Minister, Scott Morrison is a Pentecostal believer, he believes in Jesus. But when people see our work, we need to reflect God's character as well. And for the story, we only hear God from the speech of the characters. God's action is not mentioned at all in this book. It's very interesting because you don't see any action of God. Anything mentioned God and his action is not mentioned the entire book from the book. In this book, God is at work because he's behind the scene to work all things together for the good of those who love him. As it's written in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, God's work is in behind, not a director, behind the scene in a movie. You watch a movie, you don't see the director. You won't see the producer. God is the director, God is the producer, working in behind the scene. No one can see his hand, but it's working for his own good, for his good, for his goodness. And God's hand is invisible. But, yes, we can see his goodness throughout the story of Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. In that concludes a happy ever after. God has been hidden behind as an invisible puppet master to bring all things under his plan. One of the themes that the scripture reflected in this story is that God decides to move his children from the sense of insecurity and fear to a sense of peace and contentment. The problem is not when bad things happen. The problem is how you react. How do you react when bad things happen? God's hand is invisible, but she's able to make people from scared in fear and insecurity to feeling peace and feeling content. Naomi began with the emptiness in chapter 1, and she went from security of this life being filled to the sense of having a purpose in this life. In the end, Naomi knew that there would have been a plan according to everything that worked together for good. And the original readers in this story were able to stand even further back. And they tried to evaluate the circumstances of her life because they knew, even more than God's plan has unfolding beyond her lifetime. People, the original readers, probably in the time of Old Testament time, they know much more than Naomi. They knew that God's plan is behind, is for God's blessing, his promise to Abraham to carry on to the start the dynasty of King David. But as modern readers in the 21st century today, the canon, the entire part of the entire Bible is now completed. We know everything from Genesis to Book of Revelation, from the beginning of the creation to the end of creation. We can see a much bigger picture than those people who have seen in the original readers. When you look at this book, you know what God's purpose was for this little love story. You know that we know that it is not just God helping Naomi and Ruth have secured their family, all this family. We know that in behind God is purposing something much bigger. It's involving all of us here today. God do that little thing so that Jesus will be born, and when Jesus is born, everyone will be saved. That is his plan. So that all of you will become his wife like Ruth. That is all God's plan from the beginning. And in his goodness and faithfulness, God's blessing is not just for Naomi and Ruth in the story of many thousand years ago, but it is for all mankind that we are all blessed. One day, 2,000 years ago, God has sent his own son, Jesus, into this world. Today, it's going to be like the Christmas carols next week, and then the Christmas is coming in 2 weeks' time. I hope you guys always remember God's purpose for that Christmas child is not about Christmas. It's about Jesus Christ. Jesus has blessed all of us with this baby boy. Boaz is just a foreshadow for another baby which is much bigger. It's foreshadowing Jesus Christ coming to earth. When you see Naomi and when you see Ruth and Boaz having give birth to Obed, and Obed foreshadows another much bigger baby boy in this God's plan. That is Jesus Christ. And so that God can make many children, not just one, not just from one race, not just the Jewish race, but to all of us who believe in Him. Anyone who believes in Jesus Christ, you will be God's son. You will be part of this family. God promised to Abraham, that family, Naomi's family, Boaz's family, Ruth's family, is your family. All of us are the babies and children of God. That is His plan in the last day. And like the way Naomi who has joyfully received the child of God from the God as a gift, the father of Jesse, the father of King David, we need to remember it's all pointing to Jesus, the perfect gift, the perfect baby that is given to us. So let us rejoice like Naomi, who is joyful and thankful to God for what God has done. This is a very marvelous plan that God has prepared for. And remember, you never know. God is working behind as a puppet master, invisible hand. You never know what God is going to use your life to do. Ruth doesn't know, Naomi doesn't know. God may use any one of us to further His kingdom. So let us praise God for His holy name and give thanks to Him. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for you for the story of Ruth. Thank you for giving Naomi an heir so that it can carry on the bloodline so that we have salvation through the Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for your promise thousands and thousands years ago to Abraham and now have been fulfilled through your Son Jesus. Help us to rejoice like Naomi having Obed. Help us to rejoice for this Christmas child, this perfect child Jesus that you have given to us. Help us always reflect upon your goodness in our life so that we will trust in you in our hardship in life. Help us so that we go through all the suffering. Help us to endure that we will long for Jesus, that we will meet you one day as your bride, just as in white as snow, that our sins have been forgiven on the last day. Pray in the name of the Son. Amen.